أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to talk about another important issue, and that is proofs on necessary existence. You know that there are numerous ways which the human beings have resorted to prove Almighty Allah's existence. In another word, the Muslim scholars, theologians, and Gnostics have developed various ways to prove Almighty Allah's existence, to say that Almighty Allah is a necessary existent. There are these three approaches, or these three ways, that try to prove Almighty Allah's existence. But firstly, let me say that these three ways have their own pros and cons, have their own positives and negatives. The first way is a philosophical and rational approach that our Muslim philosophers have developed various philosophical and rational arguments to prove Almighty Allah's existence. The second category is theologians. Theologians have also made vigorous attempts to prove Almighty Allah's existence through theological arguments, such as design argument. The third category is the mystics or the Gnostics arguments. They have also developed arguments to prove Almighty Allah. So amongst all these three approaches, as I said, a way is better, an approach is good that suits everyone's taste and talent, that should be compatible with his abilities, with his sharp-mindedness, or with his, for example, knowledge. Briefly, I will count some positives and negatives of these three approaches. Firstly, philosophical approach. You know that throughout the history, there have been many philosophers, there have been many religious philosophers, that they tried their best to develop well-organized arguments to prove Almighty Allah's existence. The positive point of these arguments, is that they are well-organized. The philosophical arguments made by the philosophers are important, because these arguments can convince the atheists and those skeptics and those who follow a skeptical approach. So the first positive aspect of philosophical arguments is that philosophical and rational arguments make someone convinced, make someone understand and truly reach the destination, and that is Almighty Allah's existence. The negative aspect of this argument is that there are some very few figures who can truly understand philosophical arguments. So everyone does not have this authority, everyone does not have this intelligence to have access to such philosophical and rational demonstrations. So it is a flaw, or it is a disappointing point in the God with the philosophical arguments, that everyone does not have access to such arguments. This is an important issue. Only those philosophers, those who have deep knowledge, those who have profound understanding of everything, they can reach and they can have access to philosophical arguments. But again, if a person could prove Almighty Allah's existence through philosophical arguments, for sure he has done the best work. I mean, he has truly done a great job. This is first. The second way of proving Almighty Allah's existence is theological arguments. You know, theological arguments have also been developed throughout the history by the theologians to prove Almighty Allah's existence. There are numberless books. There are a huge amount of articles, magazines, particularly addressing theological arguments, particularly addressing Almighty Allah's existence through theological arguments. For example, one of those important theological argument, as it was addressed in the previous lessons, that was the argument of the design, or the design argument. It was saying that you have to think that this world is enjoying an intricate design. So behind this intricate design and complexities, there should be a designer. It can never ever come into existence at random. It can never ever come into existence based on accidents. There should be a wise designer behind all these wonderful phenomena in this world, in this universe. Starting with ourselves, starting to look at the universe. Beautiful trees, beautiful flowers with beautiful perfume. These were the theological arguments that the Muslim theologians have developed to prove Almighty Allah's existence and to prove Almighty Allah's attributes, knowledge, omnipotence, omniscience, and knowledge. The third important way, that is a mystical approach towards Almighty Allah. You know that the Gnostics and the mystics have always emphasized on personal purification, on spiritual growth. They have always said to reach Almighty Allah and to understand Almighty Allah with all your existence, firstly, you have to purify yourself. When you could purify yourself, when you elevated yourself spiritually, and when you could afford spiritual growth, at that time you are able to feel Almighty Allah with whole your existence. There is no need that you have to go beyond yourself. There is no need that we have to prove Almighty Allah's existence through His creature. No, you yourself is the best world that you can find Almighty Allah in. So they emphasize, or they lay their great emphasis on self-purification. That when you could purify your heart and your mind from every kind of skeptical and doubtful problems, these and that, at that time, this ground is ready to receive Almighty Allah's encompassing grace and mercy. Otherwise, you will not be able to receive Almighty Allah's grace and mercy in a dirty heart. And for sure it is. The positive point this way has, that is that it brings a certainty. Those people who have had these religious experiences, this intuitive knowledge, they are 100% sure of Almighty Allah's existence. There is no need that you have to tell them tales of Almighty Allah's existence. There is no need that you have to tell stories so that they should believe Almighty Allah's existence. No, there is no need for them. They need not that other stories must be told for them. Whenever they contemplate, whenever they ponder upon themselves, they find Almighty Allah. They feel Almighty Allah wholeheartedly. They embrace. So the positive point is that it brings us certainty. 100% he becomes sure that Almighty Allah exists. But there is a negative aspect in this way, and that is this, that such kind of inward feelings can never be transmitted to others so that they should find the same feeling you have found. It is not transmittable. It cannot be transmitted. It cannot be conveyed to others. So due to this, some of the mystics could not resist those atheists' arguments. Why? Because the mystics have invested a lot on their own personal experiences. But the atheists say that these experiences are valid for you. But these arguments can never be a trustworthy arguments for me. So these arguments should be made valid. So since the mystics do not resort to philosophical or theological arguments, sometimes they fall short of convincing those atheists. These were the positives and negatives of the three approaches that one can resort to prove Almighty Allah's existence. So now coming to our today's topic, there are proofs that we should, rationally talking, prove Almighty Allah's existence. So today, you will be hearing the word of existence and existence a lot, because our proof in the demonstration we right now going to present for you, dear listeners, that is based on existence and existent. So dear listeners and respectable audience, one of the most important philosophical arguments that they have developed and they have established to prove Almighty Allah's existence, that is the argument of existence. It means that they have divided existence into two categories. And it can be a self-evident fact, and every one of us can find it, that existence in an intellectual perception is either necessary or is possible. Necessary existence or necessary existent does not stand in need of another existent, for his existence is of its own. While possible existent is an existent that stands in need of another existence or another existent. To make it more clear, I should give an example. Sometimes the existence can be either from ourselves or it can be from others. Consider the cause and effect. If cause does not come, the effect will not be existent. The effect will not come into existence, because effect is always in need of cause. Effect stands in dire need of the cause's existence. Firstly, cause should exist, and then we can expect the effect. If the cause does not exist, we can never imagine, we can never assume that the effect should come into existence. So the philosophers have divided that all the existence in this world can either be existent from their own selves, they can either exist from themselves, or existence is granted to them. You know that this is a very fallacious question that sometimes the people might ask you, that okay, if Almighty Allah has created the universe, then who has created God? For the principle of cause and effect tells him or tells everyone that if there is an effect, there should be cause. So they take the question further, saying that, okay, if Almighty Allah is the cause of this effect, I mean the universe, so what is the cause of cause? Who is the cause of Almighty Allah? And who has created Almighty Allah? If he has created this universe, so who has created Almighty Allah? This is a problem or a problematic question that have been raised by some of the atheists. We believe that this kind of question should be analyzed. We believe that every possible existent is in need of a cause. Not every existent, you know, because there is an existent, there is a necessary existent whose existence comes from himself, and that is Almighty Allah. So he who has a necessary existence, he does not need another cause in another, we can say, existent to make him exist. No, because he is not possible existent. He is not a contingent existent. He is a necessary existent. A necessary existent is termed in philosophical circles as wajibul wujud. Whosoever is wajibul wujud, he does not need any other cause or any other existent. Rather, he is existent from his own self, this existence comes. Yes, the human beings, the rest of the creatures are possible existence. They are contingent existence. They for sure stand in dire need of other existent, other cause, and that is Almighty Allah. So this question can be responded like this, that yes, every possible existent needs a cause and another existent. Not every kind of existent, which includes necessary existent. Necessary existence is an existent that does not need any cause and does not need any existent. So, dear listeners, every possible existent needs another existent. Every contingent existent needs another cause, another necessary existent. This question might be asked that, so what is if all the existents were possible? For example, this should be the cause of this, and this should be the cause of that, that should be the cause of another one. So philosophically talking, it is impossible that we should have an endless chain of possible existence. Once again, philosophically talking, it is impossible that we should have and we should assume an endless chain of existence, an endless chain of possible existence. It should stop at a time. It should stop at a place. And we believe that it is Almighty Allah whose existence is of its own. His existence does not depend on any other existent. So, but the rest of the existence, the rest of the people's existence, all of them are dependent on Almighty Allah's will, on Almighty Allah's mercy, on Almighty Allah's existence. If he was not there, of course he would not have been existent. So this is the response of those who raise this question that who has created God? In response to them, we can say that it is not true that we should say that every existent needs another existent. No. Every possible existent needs another cause, another existent. This is true. Since Almighty Allah is not a possible existent, rather he is a necessary existent, so he does not need another cause. He does not need another one who has to precedes him. For his existence is of Almighty Allah's existence. His existence does not come from outside, or other has not granted Almighty Allah's existence. This is the response, and this is a philosophical argument that it is based on dividing existence into two categories: possible existence and necessary existence, or possible existence and necessary existence. Wajibul wujud, that is necessary existent. Mumkinul wujud, that is possible or contingent existent. So, respectable audience, today we could prove that there are numerous ways that prove Almighty Allah's existence, or the Muslim scholars have resorted to some three ways of proving Almighty Allah's existence. The first was philosophical reflections and arguments that they try to prove Almighty Allah's existence. And the second was theological arguments to prove Almighty Allah's existence. And the third was the mystical approach that they developed some other arguments, particularly self-purification, to prove Almighty Allah's existence. And we touched the positives and negatives of all these three approaches. And then we touched in detail one of those arguments that were developed, that have been developed by the philosophical circles, by the Muslim philosophers, to prove Almighty Allah's existence. And that was the argument of possible and necessary existence. We did say that, philosophically talking, so every being or every existence can be divided into two categories. Either that is possible or that is necessary. The possible existence or existent needs and requires a cause. There should be a cause that should bring into being this existence. And we say that for the necessary existent, there is no need of cause. There is no need of other precedent existent. As Almighty Allah's existence, that is of its own. Almighty Allah's existence does not depend on other existence. So this is a very, very crucial issue. Another important concept that has been used in this technical argument, that was the cause and effect. We say that cause and effect, that there should be cause and effect. And you know that we are living in the world, we are the cause and effect is running. Every cause begets an effect, or every effect is in need of a cause. So we said that this relationship exists. This relationship, I mean causal relationship exists between possible existence, not between possible and necessary existence. In another word, Almighty Allah, since He is a necessary existent, then we cannot say that, so who has created Almighty Allah? No. Causal relationship exists amongst the possible existence. For every possible existence, you can raise this question that who has created this? Not for every necessary and possible existence. So this is another important issue that we have touched. And also we touched this important topic that philosophically talking, it is impossible that we should have an endless chain or series of possible existence. That it should, for example, it should be dependent on B, B should be dependent on C, C should be dependent on D, D should be dependent on, for example, E and F, and it should be endless. That is not philosophically true. A place there should exist that it should be stopped, or it should stop there. So the same case is this world. We believe that this is, for example, this issue is the cause of this. This is the cause of this. And finally, we have to reach a destination where the causes must stop. And when it is stopped, we believe that cause is the first cause. That is an efficient cause. That is the cause, the initial cause, that needs not any other cause. So the question is responded that if Almighty Allah has created all this universe, since Almighty Allah is a necessary existent, He does not stand in need of another existent. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.